Morning. Today's scripture, first scripture reading is from the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. If you'd like to join me, it's on page 188 of your New Testament. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body, through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden through the ages and generations that has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you and the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Ken made a point, I'll echo it. We have been following along, in fact, going through almost verse by verse the letter of Paul to the Colossians and also through the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. And in that vein, we'll take off from where we left off last Sunday in the passage from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. So if you'd like to follow along, it's in your pew Bible on page 67. So hear these words. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This Luke passage that I just read is truly wonderful. It struck me this morning that there are so few passages in the Bible where women are the main characters. Often women are sort of the window dressing to the men who seem to be the most important. But in this case, women are the most important. They are the focus of the lesson. But this passage had me thinking and wondering literally all week. What is it that God would have me say to you about this seemingly simple passage? I remember learning about this lesson when I was a little guy in Sunday school, and it seemed pretty simple at the time. But now, I'm not so sure. I think there are several important points in this lesson, and I believe that it has relevance both to us as individual Christians and to us as a combined community of Christ as a church. At first glance, this story seems to pit Martha against Mary, with Jesus as the judge. Martha is good and Mary is bad, but maybe it's not so clear-cut as that. If you were to look at the notes in the Pew Bible or even in your own Bible at home, you would discover that other ancient authorities suggest a different interpretation of the original Greek. When Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, there is need of only one thing," some scholars suggest that he may have said, "Few things are necessary," or perhaps only one thing is necessary. One commentary that I read suggests the following understanding of what was going on here. With delicate ambiguity, Jesus rebuked Martha's choice of values. A simple meal of only one dish is sufficient for hospitality. Jesus approved Mary's preference for listening to his teaching, thereby accepting a woman as a disciple, as contrasted with Martha's unneeded acts of hospitality, the more usual woman's role. My point here is that with this passage, as with so many passages from Scripture, we can learn a lot about the context of the lesson and therefore about its meaning by reading the explanatory notes and other commentaries. But after all that is said and done, I don't believe that Martha was altogether wrong. She was trying to provide hospitality to a very important guest. But I also don't believe that Mary was altogether right. She was leaving her sister in a lurch by not helping with the chores of their hospitality. But clearly, Jesus was generally agreeing that Martha's approach was the wiser decision for that situation than was Mary's response. So what is the lesson here for us modern Christians as individual believers? Well, I think there are two closely related problems that we need to solve. On the one hand, just as with Martha, we are often distracted by mundane things, and we can sometimes miss what is most important in life. How many times have you gone to bed at night thinking back over your day and realized that your to-do list was not completed? That you had not accomplished all of the tasks that you had set out before yourself that morning? Have you ever pulled up short and realized that you could have chosen to spend time with that special friend of yours? That you missed an opportunity for a good conversation with your son or daughter? That you probably should have taken the time to tell your spouse that you love him or her? When you think back over your day, have you ever counted up the hours that you spent reading the newspaper or sitting mindlessly in front of TV or surfing the internet? Were these choices that you made, or were these distractions simply distractions that overcame you? I wonder how many times we have been so busy, so distracted, so occupied that we have missed Jesus sitting right there at our feet. On the other hand, on the other problem, how many times have you found yourself overwhelmed by all of the good things that you're trying to do in your life? Of all the worthwhile activities that occupy your time, have you ever felt that you couldn't concentrate on the best because of all the good? I have watched so many people that I love, myself included, who have tried to do so many good things who have overextended themselves, and in the end they felt as though they did none of these good things well enough to meet their own standards of excellence. Let me illustrate. I have this crazy image in my head of a memory from when of my dad, a memory of my dad from when I was a little guy. My dad was and continues to be frustrated by wasting time. He has so many things on his agenda, so many important things he wants to accomplish in life, and he is absolutely determined not to waste time. Well, I remember one time, one Sunday afternoon, and I walked into our TV room. My dad was sitting on the floor with his stereo headphone on, listening to classical music. He loved classical music. The Sunday New York Times was spread out all over the floor in front of him, and he was holding the op-ed page, studying that. The TV was on and he was watching a pro football game. I heard a sound. I looked closer at my dad's face. He was fast asleep. So maybe after all, the point of this Bible lesson is simply that simple lesson. Maybe each of us should try to be a little more like Mary and a little less like Martha. Maybe we should concentrate a bit more on those we love and a bit less on the mundane chores of everyday life. Maybe time spent with a best friend is more satisfying and more valuable than time spent in front of the TV. Perhaps time spent in reading the Bible and praying to God each day is more important in the bigger picture than shopping on the internet. And if you're looking for a place to start in reading the Bible, why don't you try this other passage from this morning's lectionary that Ken just read? This passage from the letter of Paul to the Colossian church spells out quite clearly who this Jesus Christ truly is. In a concise and comprehensive way. This would be a good jumping off point in a discussion with a new believer or with a veteran Christian who would become confused or distracted. This passage would help the Martha in each of us. And in a bigger view, I can't help thinking about all of the wonderful and important ministries that happen in this church, within this community of Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. Everything that we do as a church in ministry and mission is vitally important. But think about the incredible potential we have here. What if more people got involved? What if more people walked the talk of their faith? What if more people were to focus Mary-like and to participate in the many terrific ministries here at Burns? And what about the possibilities if we were to come together as a church and agree on a focus of our vision and work together on a specific set of ministries? Think of what more we could do. Think of what more God could do through our individual and collective human gifts. Let us be clear. Jesus is sitting right in front of us, offering wisdom and eternal life and kingdom living right here and right now. Let us turn away from mundane distractions. Let us listen and hear and respond. May Mary mold our Martha-ness. In the name of our teacher and Savior, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.